today on Real Radio.
And that's what Paul is talking about in the context of the study tonight, is that there are things that a Christian, once they experience the birth of the Spirit, that they wind up coming to the knowledge of as a Christian. The moment you were born again, you had no idea what wealth in the spirit realm was yours until you came across them in study and through experience.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We'll hear a presentation that examines verses 15 through 23 of the first chapter. Paul, the letter's author, is reminding the readers of their position and privileges having trusted in the Messiah. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Things That We Need to Know.
As we look at some fantastic truths right out of the Scripture, some of the most powerful verses in the Bible are laid out before us this evening, and we will do our best to get all the way through there. That's my intentions tonight. However, the depth and the meat of what Paul is trying to tell us in this great, great study that he has penned to us is so much worthy of our consideration. They are certainly things that we need to know. And by the way, before we get into this, in the Greek New Testament, from verses 3 to 14, Paul gives one sentence. That's from verses 3 to 14. It's a tremendous sentence. Well, from verses 15 to 23, Paul gives another sentence. The whole chapter is built up really of officially two sentences. But in verses 15 to 23, Paul gives this sentence that contains 169 words in the original Greek New Testament. I mean, this guy can talk, and he can take a breath and go. And it's not that he's talking a lot. It's what he says is so meaty that he can't stop. He just says it. And so this is a very important piece of Scripture that we're seeing this evening. Beginning at verse 15. Paul says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Let's pray together one more time. Father, we ask You in Jesus' name that You would take these truths from Your Word and embed them into our hearts. Lord, that You would descend upon us by the power of the Holy Spirit to breathe life into us. We know that Your Word has life and is life. But Father, we pray tonight that we might be recipients of the grace and of the power and, Lord, of the knowledge concerning the facts that we need to have right here and right now for us. So, Lord, bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Things that we need to know. The context of the Scripture is based upon prayer. If you look carefully at this, beginning at verse 15, he says, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints," he goes right into verse 16, "I do not cease to pray." He's praying for this church. And what's important about verse 15, you should circle this in your Bible, is the word "therefore." The reason why it's important is because he's backing up all the preceding 14 verses. He's saying, based upon what we've just gone through, I am now going to offer up to you a thanksgiving, really, I guess, unto the Lord, and then offer up on your behalf this prayer. But Paul says here, therefore, very important word. Before we get into this and continue on in the study, we need to recognize a few things. When we are born as children, you know, Job told us we're born naked. Naked I came, naked I go. And, you know, that's true. You might say, well, I've never seen anybody buried naked. Well, they are really buried naked. They may have a suit on, but they're naked. There's nothing left anymore. There's nothing there. They're gone. They're about as naked. That body's about as naked as it's ever going to be. In fact, it's more naked than it was when it was born. But we are born into this world, Job says, naked, and we're going to leave naked. But the fact of the matter is, when we are truly born into this world, though we come out naked looking and ugly and crinkly and bald-headed, most of us bald-headed like a bowling ball, the fact of the matter is, by virtue of who your mother is, who your father is, there are certain assets and resources that are available to you. You don't know it at all. You're just crying. I'm not going to say my child's name. One of my kids came out. In fact, I can't even say their name. I forgot which one this was. It was a classic day, though. I mean, she came out, and the doctor holds her up, and he was trying to go to church right after because she really ruined his day. She was coming too soon. It wasn't going to work. He kept saying, I'll go to church, and I'll be back in a minute. You know, you just, Lisa, keep doing your thing. And, what happened was he had his dress pants on underneath his scrubs and had his nice shoes and socks on. And she came out and, hey, look, all right. And just really filled up his shoes. And just really surprised him, just really let him have it. Well, not only was she connected to mom by way of the umbilical cord, really even much more important than that was the fact that she was connected to our family. There were certain resources and assets by virtue of her being born into our family that are hers, though she doesn't know anything about them. And every one of us who have been born into the world, I'm not talking about the financial status of your family, I'm talking about you being part of the human race, you being an extension of your mom and dad, you have certain things that have been granted to you by virtue of birth that will never be separated from you, good or bad. Doesn't matter. The fact is, they're yours. And you do not realize that they're yours until you grow up into them. There comes a point in time as a child grows up that they find out we're rich, or we find out we're poor, or we find out we're middle class, or we find out we have a car or a truck. They're not aware of these things at the beginning, but they become aware as time goes on. And that's what Paul is talking about in the context of the study tonight, is that there are things that a Christian, once they experience the birth of the Spirit, that they wind up coming to the knowledge of as a Christian. The moment you were born again, you had no idea what wealth in the spirit realm was yours until you came across them in study and through experience. Experience in Christianity is one of the greatest things that you can ever experience. It sure is painful, though. I had a brother just before service talk about experience and in pain. And what's going on? God's working in his life. It's not easy. But by virtue of our birth, we are related to this family, this Christian spiritual family that is global, it's worldwide, it's alive, it transcends that connection of human, earthly birth because it's of the Spirit. But the text, the context of the study tonight is based upon prayer, and we'll see things that come out of it. So he says in verse 15, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith. And the reason why that's there is because he says, I just got done talking to you about being sealed by the Holy Spirit. Remember we talked about that the last 2 weeks? You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We were asking the question, are you sealed? Do you know it for sure? If you are sealed, you do know it for sure. It's the way he works. None of his kids are running around not knowing. And maybe you are struggling with that because you need to be reassured or you need to believe him. You may be one of his children, but you're not believing his words. But the fact of the matter is, if you believe God at His Word and the witness of the Holy Spirit in you, you know that you've been sealed by the Spirit. We've come through that. By the way, 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God is sure, it stands, having this seal, that the Lord knows those who are His." And so I like that. So now Paul's purpose, after this foundation has been laid in the first 14 verses, his motive now is to pray for them. To pray for them. He says in verse 16, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer." So the first thing I want you to notice is verses 15 to 16 is that Paul's example at prayer. People, we need to have his example at prayer. I'm afraid, and I'm not coming against this church specifically or you specifically, but the church of Jesus, by and large, I think is praying less than ever before. I think we're playing more and praying less. I think it's so hard for us to shut down everything. When's the last time you got in your car and turned your radio off? Or kept it off? Have you noticed you jump in the car and you automatically turn it on? I'm really bad about that. I'm a news freak. I get on KNX. And if they're not, you know, okay. And then I toggle back and forth, KFWB, KNX. And you're saying, "Man, I want to ride with you anywhere. You bored me out of my life." You know, it's, you don't have to listen to the news. You know, I wind up listening to it and telling you about it. You know? But I like the news. But the thing is, the Lord is always telling me, "Turn it off. Turn it off." But God, we want to know what's going on. Now listen, we got to shut it down. We need to start listening to the Lord. I think we might be playing more than we're praying. We need to be praying a lot. Why? The prayer of the believer is what's going to unlock your relationship with the Lord in knowledge to assimilate what God has spoken to you. You can take this Bible all day long, and if you read it academically, it won't change your life. You've got to read this Word and eat up what it says. And that is done through prayer. When you open the Bible, say, "Lord, I want you to seal this into my heart. I want you to anchor these truths into my soul. And I ask you to speak to me." If you approach the Bible like a novel, if you approach it like, "Well, you know, I'm supposed to do my Bible reading today. So, here we go." You're not going to get anything out of it. You know, you got to look at this thing like it is breathing. It's alive, Hebrews says, sharper than any two-edged sword. By the way, if we're not praying, if I'm not praying, and if you're not praying, that is the first avenue, by the way, that is cut off. There's a block, a roadblock on that avenue when we begin to backslide. If we cool off on our prayer life, watch what happens. We cool off talking to God. It's just like the relationship you have with someone, maybe an employee, maybe a spouse. You're not talking to them much. And the less you talk with them, the more alienated you feel with them. Isn't that true? And isn't it funny when you're not talking to somebody, you begin to think? It's so stupid. You begin to think what they might be thinking. How can you dare do that when you haven't even been talking to them? That's the trick. "I haven't talked to them in so long, I don't think they like me." How do you know? "I don't know, I haven't talked to them in so long." So then how do you know? "I just feel like they don't like me." Well, ask them. "I can't do that because we're not talking." When there's a fellowship going on, it's, "Hey, how you doing? Great, how you doing? Okay, fine." And God's like that. You talk with God daily. "How you doing today?" "I'm doing fine. How you doing?" "I'm doing good." "Let's go on. Let's get on the freeway, God." "Okay, here we go." He's with you all the time. He's never leaving you or forsaking you. And we just need to talk to Him. You know, we got to be careful. We don't get in. I think there's a place for liturgical type of prayer, but I don't think we should get into it. By that I mean, there's a time when we bow the knee and we might even, you know, go through some interesting things that we do in prayer time as individuals privately alone. Maybe you like to lay down flat on the carpet and talk to God. That's great. Keep doing it. But you ought to be able to stand up and get behind your moped or your car and be able to talk to God too. Paul is saying, "I don't cease to talk to God about you guys." And that's Paul's example of prayer. We need to be like that. And I honestly mean this. If it is slipping from your life, don't think for a moment that it's just going to affect you. It will affect your family and your friends. And then it will affect your church. And I got to admit right now, there's days when I get up and my flesh says, we ain't praying today. And I'm laying there going, I heard that. Now, some of you who are visiting or don't know the Lord, you're thinking, these Christians are sick. But what's the first thing you do when you wake in the morning is God. It's God. Isn't it great to wake up in the morning? The first thing when your consciousness comes around, it's God's with me. Wow. Okay, what's going on today? And the flesh says, nothing. Fishing. Stay in bed. Zip. And then the spirit says, no, you know what? What do we need to do? We need to get into our devotion, man. You know you missed it the last few days. Come on, let's go get into the devotion. Okay, flesh says, no way. And you're laying there and there's this war going on. Isn't that weird? Before your feet ever hit the ground. It happens in milliseconds too, have you noticed? Then you get up and as soon as you start going with it, the flesh just by now kind of like gives up. All right. But have you noticed if we don't yield and go spend a moment with the Lord, and I don't know what kind of props you need. I need props. I'm a hands-on kind of proppy kind of guy. And I'll always go out to the kitchen, to the bay window, and I'll look outside towards the sun, if there's sun or whatever, and I'll just look out there. If that doesn't do it, I'll open the sliding glass door, which everybody doesn't like because the cold air comes in. But it means something to me. And I'll listen to the morning. And it's like, oh, man, God help me. I feel like I'm dead. And then I'll hear a bird singing or a robin will go across the yard or whatever it is. And it's like, yeah, neat. And that's how God speaks to me. And that's how I get my batteries going. And then I'll get into the Word and things that happen. For you, it's different. Maybe it's Beethoven or Mozart in the morning. Some people, fine. But be wise about this. Paul got in the mood and mode to be praying always. The Bible says pray always and don't cease. The Bible says pray and don't give up praying. We need to remember that. But listen, we backslide in prayer. We're going to backslide in Bible reading. We'll backslide in our conduct. And then we stop going to church and we wind up messing up good time and we're not accountable to anybody anymore. By the way, I came across this great verse the other day. And we ought to put this over our new sanctuary, Lord willing, when we build this thing. And it's Psalm 77:13. I read this yesterday. I love this verse. Isn't this a great verse to hang over the front of a church? Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Isn't there like a little bit of boasting in there? I like that. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. So come on, let's get on in the sanctuary. And by the way, who is so great a God as our God? In other words, get in the sanctuary, man, and fellowship because we have such a great and awesome God. But you cut that out of your life, you're gonna hurt. And you don't want to do that. Verse 15 says, Paul says here, after I heard about your faith in the Lord. You ought to underline faith in the Lord. It's twofold right here. Faith in the Lord. And number two, your love for all the saints. Those have got to go hand in hand. The Christian life is lived on two planes, always. Always two planes. Our relationship Godward is displayed by our faith in God. Listen, everyone, did you get it? Our relationship toward God, Godward, is displayed to the world by our faith. Our faith. Please, are you growing in the Lord? Is the Bible challenging your heart? When you come in and out of a message or listen to a message on the radio, whatever it is, are you challenged by it? That feeling's a little uncomfortable when you're challenged by the Holy Spirit. It's a little bit unnerving because, do I dare say the word, we hate this word, change? Change. The Holy Spirit wants us to change. We are changing by the power of God. And when we seek Him, Godward, our relationship with the Lord is displayed throughout the world by our faith. Are you trusting God? Have you yielded your life to Him? We sang this beautiful song tonight about trusting the Lord. I want to be associated with a fellowship, and I think you do too, that we're committed to God and our faith shows it. well, do you think we should go up and take those guys? Jonathan says to his armor bearer, let's go. God doesn't need the whole Israeli army to whip these guys. If God's with us, He'll use the two of us to whip the whole army. Don't you like that kind of thinking? I mean, that's awesome. It's great thinking. No, you know, let's try it, you know? I think that's fun. I think it's kind of bloody, but I think it's fun. But that's the way the walk ought to be. Is your walk a dynamic? Paul is praying for this church because their walk is a dynamic. Man, he's prompted to pray for them because they're dynamic in the Lord. I love it. So faith is our display of our relationship to God. But look at the second thing, is that our relationship manward is through love. If we have faith in God, we're going to have love toward our brothers and sisters. And this is God's love. This is God's love that we'll have for them. And God can only give this love. So don't try it on your own. You can't do it. Even in the family of God, there's people we have a hard time with. And you might say, gosh, how can I be a Christian? That guy drives me nuts. God has brought that guy into your life to drive you nuts. So that you will fall to your knees and say, Lord, you know, we're so fun. Lord, help me to love Brother John more. When the truth is, it's, God, I can't stand that guy. You got to help me. He's my brother and I feel really bad about it because he's just driving me up the wall. And the Lord says, thank you for that honest prayer. The fact of the matter is this. You need to ask me for my love and patience for him, because I love him. And I've brought him into your life to sharpen you. If everybody around us was just like us, think about it. We would really not get along very well. Our degree of love, though, for those around us reveals our level of faith in the Lord. So we need to be careful about that and prayerful about that. And faith and love and faith will be going together. I love what St. Augustine says. I've said it before, and I like it so much. And Billy Graham did a little bit more to it. But St. Augustine says, love God and live as you please. Doesn't that sound a little heretical? Love God and live as you please. The point is, if you love God, you can live any way you want, because the way that you want to live is pleasing to God because you love God. That's how powerful we're talking about, this love toward our brothers and sisters, living like we please. And our faith toward the Lord will be governing our lives.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's a presentation called Things That We Need to Know, a look at chapter 1 and verses 15 through 23. We'll pick up with part 2 on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Tomorrow, we'll step aside from our verse-by-verse journey through Ephesians. Pastor Jack will be interviewing Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, on the issue of same-sex marriage. So be sure and join us for that on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, one of the most infamous dates in U.S. history is coming up. We all see the reminders that tell us never to forget, and we hope that you never will. And to help us better understand the terrorism, carnage, and anti-Christian views of Islam, we're once again offering Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. Brigitte Gabriel refuses to keep silent in today's politically correct climate and warns Westerners about this very, very real threat. So if you missed our offer the last time, now's your opportunity to take advantage. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio, of any amount, we'll send you Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. Visit realradioactive.org for more about the book and its author, and to make your contribution. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can find out all of our contact information once again by visiting realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.